And you're listening to Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Stay tuned for No Compromise news, views, poetry, music from the studios of Free Radio Santa Cruz.
You're cutting chainsaws, killing the trees, trusting everything that lives in peace. Our animal friends are on the run, but there's nowhere to go when the job is done.
Welcome to Free Radio Santa Cruz's presentation of Earth First Radio. I'm Uncle Dennis. Each week I bring you No Compromise news, views, poetry, and music for activists on the front lines of the environmental movement. And we've got a lot of stuff coming up today, including a new feature on Earth First Radio, some commentary brought to us from a guy named Oak, who contacted me over the internet and said he wanted to do some commentary, and I sent me a CD and or a cassette, and we're going to listen to that. And we'll have lots of stories and stuff. So in these stories, you'll hear about the folks who are killing the planet and the folks who have detailed information about saving what's left. They all have names, addresses, telephone numbers, email addresses, web pages. Some of them are even nice folks. I want you definitely to go get a pencil or a pen and some paper, recycled. Get yourself ready to take down the information that I'm giving you, because this isn't Couch Potato Radio, it's Radical Activist Radio. And I urge you to take the information down and act on it. You really can make a difference by writing letters, sending faxes, making phone calls, or even sending email when you aren't out in the woods up in a tripod or a tree sit or locked down at the road blockades. Of course, Earth First Radio can use your help. If you have announcements or news about what's going on in your bioregion, send it by email to cruzef@cruzio.com. That's C-R-U-Z-E-F at C-R-U-Z-I-O.com. Or you can send regular mail to Earth First Radio at P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Once again, that's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And be sure to send any announcements or other timely information 3 weeks in advance. Okay? We've got some announcements here about stuff that's going on, and then we'll get into some news. Some stuff going on July 7th through 10th is the Ecology and Management of Port Orford Cedar. It's a symposium. It's being held in the Gold Beach Resort in Gold Beach, Oregon. They wanted you to register by now, but I'm sure they'll take your registration. Port Orford Cedar is a valuable species ecologically, culturally, and economically. It is confined to a small range in southern Oregon and northern California, and it's being threatened by the Port Orford Cedar root rot. This is a workshop to present ongoing research and all that kind of stuff. If you'd like to have more information about this, contact Barbara Ulian of the Siskiyou Project. That's at P.O. Box 1877, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Or you email to Barbara at siskiyou.org. That's Barbara at siskiyou.org. The regular mail address is Barbara Ulian, U-L-L-I-A-N, Siskiyou Project, P.O. Box 1877, Grants Pass, Oregon, 97528. Coming up real soon is the Forest Guardians 3rd Annual Gathering, June 4th through 6th at Elliott Barker Camp in Angel Fire, New Mexico. You should probably register real soon for this if you're going to go. Contact the Forest Guardians. The name is Lally McCannon at 505-988-9126. That's Lally at 505-988-9126. Or send email to swwild@fguardians.org. That's swwild@fguardians.org. Another announcement, also that same weekend, June 4th through 7th, is the Endangered Species Act Activist Conference in Washington, D.C., only held every few years. You can register online at www.stopextinction.org/conference.html. Once again, that's www.stopextinction.org/conference.html. It's probably a little too late to register by mail. So, other announcements, the Eastern Old Growth Conference, June 10th through 12th. This is the 5th Eastern Old Growth Conference. It's being held in Duluth, Minnesota. And your contact person is Marianne Hellman at the University of Minnesota. The email address is mhellman, M-H-E-L-L-M-A-N, at forestry.umn.edu. That's mhellman at forestry.umn.edu. The Forest Protection Lobby Week is June 14th through 18th. American Lands invites all activists to come to Washington, D.C. for a massive forest protection lobby blitz, June 14th through 18th. House of Representatives and all kinds of stuff are going to go on. There are some travel funds available, but you better contact Liz at 202-547-9098. That's Liz, 202-547-9098. Or Liz B, L-I-Z-B, at AmericanLands.org. Definitely want to let folks know that the Asylum Gathering, it's loosely defined as a free punk anarchist convergence with a radical environmentalist slant, is going to be held June 11th through 15th in the wildlands of Cascadia, just south of Eugene, Oregon. And they invite you to head out there just before you head out to the Round River Rendezvous. If you'd like information about the Asylum Gathering, contact Antipathy at P.O. Box 11703, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's Antipathy, P.O. Box 11703, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. Email address, suspect27, that's capital S-U-S-P-E-C-T, 27, at hotmail.com. June 18th is getting closer. June 18th is the International Day of Action for aiming at the heart of the global economy. If you'd like further information about this, there is a list server that you can get on. Send email to listproc@gn.apc.org. That's listproc at gn.apc.org. And in the body, include J18 discussion and your email address, and they'll take care of you on that one. Of course, the Earth First Round River Rendezvous is taking place June 21st through June 28th. The Round River Rendezvous this year is taking place in the San Juan Mountains of Colorado. That's southern Colorado. In fact, it's only a rabbit's hop just north of the border with New Mexico. Check the latest copy of the Earth First Journal on how to get there, but basically it's a bunch of miles north of Santa Fe, about 100 miles north of Santa Fe, New Mexico. Ought to be fun. Once again, the Earth First Round River Rendezvous number 19. It's being held June 21st through 28th in the San Juan Mountains of southern Colorado, south central Colorado. And Uncle Dennis will be there, along with Earth First Radio. So check it out. We will have lots of stuff for folks to do at the rendezvous. So let's get right into news here. In a letter dated April 15th, Senator Ron Wyden and then Congressman Peter DeFazio asked Forest Service Chief Mike Dombeck to conduct mineral exams to determine whether NICOR, which is a mining company, has the right to mine in the Rough and Ready Creek watershed of Oregon. The congressional letter notes that rights granted under the 1872 mining law hinge on the discovery of a valuable mineral that can be mined at a profit, and that, by the Forest Service's own analysis, it is highly unlikely that NICOR's mining claims are valid and that a valuable mineral has been discovered. The Siskiyou National Forest has heard from approximately 5,500 individuals and organizations who are opposed to the nickel laterite strip mine and want Southwest Oregon's Rough and Ready Creek preserved. Rough and Ready Creek flows out of the Calmeopsis Wilderness and the South Calmeopsis Roadless Area and into a Forest Service Botanical Area and a Bureau of Land Management critical environmental area of critical environmental concern. Rough and Ready Creek is eligible to become a National Wild and Scenic River and is part of the West Fork of the Illinois River watershed. This watershed ranks number one out of 1,400 watersheds in Oregon for the number of rare and sensitive species. But despite recent rulings from the Department of Interior, the Forest Service clings to a policy of assuming that a valuable mineral, one which can be mined at a profit, has been discovered on a mining claim unless the area has been formally withdrawn from mineral entry. The Wyden-DeFazio letter to Chief Dombeck requested that the Forest Service recommend that Rough and Ready Creek watershed in the South Calmeopsis Roadless Area be withdrawn from entry under the 1872 mining law and asked the agency to conduct validity exams on the NICOR mining claims. The Department of Interior, who manages the mineral sources on public lands, including national forests, would carry out a withdrawal under the authority Congress has already granted to the Secretary of the Interior. The folks who sent us this letter are encouraging you to write to Mike Dombeck, Chief of the United States Department of Agricultural's Forest Service, at P.O. Box 96090, Washington, D.C., 20090-6090. That's Mike Dombeck, Chief of the Forest Service, P.O. Box 96090, Washington, D.C., 20090-6090. And in the news from Oregon, more news from Oregon. Been reading you news lately about what's happening on Eagle Creek. Activists announced their presence on May 14th. Loggers came in on May 17th. There is a blockade on the road. Here's the latest information from Eagle Creek. The bipod in the road at Eagle Creek has now kept the chainsaws out since Monday the 24th. Mother Nature has kept the upper road closed with snow, so there is effectively now a 6,500-acre Eagle Free State in effect. This is Oregon's biggest such liberated zone. Help is urgently needed if this is to last. Every night and day, either angry federales or locals show up to harass the bipod. The person who sent this information had their tire slashed a few days ago when they brought the press in to see the tree sit. The only people around were a dozen law enforcement officers from the Forest Service. They have also shown up in the middle of the night shaking the bipod and asking if the sitters have any weapons. A few days ago, an angry logger type showed up with a knife and tried to cut down the rope to the bipod and possibly kill or injure the activist up there. The only thing that stopped it was a ground person talked the logger out of it. Unfortunately, it all happened so fast it was not caught on video. The Freddies told the press the road will be clear by next week. The biggest help needed right now is ground support for the pod and potential pod sitters. Come up this weekend. Come up right away to Eagle Creek. For more information and rides from Portland, call 503-241-4879. That's 503-241-4879. And the Clinton administration needs to remedy problems with the current direction and process of the Forest Service roadless policy now under development. As many of you know, the agency is considering a proposal that would defer roadless area protection until sometime in the future by relying on the forest planning processes. This offers no assurance of real protection, and meanwhile, roadless areas will continue to be destroyed until the forest plans are revised. A better alternative is for the Forest Service to do a nationwide EIS to ensure strong protection for all National Forest roadless areas, though some combination of the 40,000 activist letters and calls to the White House in the last few months, with the help of working assets, 36 favorable editorials, and 40,000 emails, green group letters to Vice President Al Gore and Chief of Staff John Podesta, Our voices are being heard. The real test is whether the administration will shift the current course and initiate an EIS. This coming month of June is a critical time to make a big splash and help them with their decision. Contact Jim Lyons, L-Y-O-N-S, Undersecretary of Agriculture. His phone number, 202-720-7173. That's 202-720-7173. The fax number is 202-720-4732. 720-4732. And urge Jim Lyons, Undersecretary of Agriculture, to initiate an environmental impact statement to protect National Forest roadless areas. And June 3rd is the Roadless Day of Action. The Heritage Forest Campaign and U.S. Public Interest Research Group will be dropping more than 150,000 comments and postcards and signatures with the Clinton administration. If you'd like more information about this, contact Derek Spooner at dspooner@audubon.org. That's dspooner@audubon.org. And in news from Houston, Texas, although Maxam is no stranger to controversial board meetings, this year's was by far the rowdiest Maxam board meeting ever. Environmentalists were joined by 230 United Steelworkers members, most of them holding a single share of Maxam stock apiece, who traveled from Spokane and other cities to attempt to change the Maxam board that controls Kaiser Aluminum. Word is that Houston hotels heard about the planned rally. They blackballed the shareholders. Maxam was forced to move the meeting 2 hours north to a country club in a Texas town aptly named as Point Blank. Although none of the dissidents were able to secure a room at the exclusive resort, hundreds showed up for the shareholders meeting, including prominent members of the Democratic Party, environmentalists, attorneys, national labor leaders, noted environmentalist David Brower, and mother of fallen Earth First activist David Gypsy Chain. The coalition backed a slate of two independent directors who pledged to stand up to Maxam Chairman and Chief Executive Officer Charles Hurwitz and change how the company treats the environment, labor, and its shareholders. The two well-known Democrats, former Ohio Senator Howard Metzenbaum and former federal judge and White House attorney Abner Mikva, received the stunning 1 million votes. Unfortunately, that was only 15% of the outstanding stocks voted. The vote was far surpassed the 3% the independent candidates received in 1997 and represents 25% of the shares outside of Hurwitz's control. Speaker after speaker said the board had better start listening to the shareholders. Investment specialist Nell Minow of Lens Investment Management remarked that this vote is a wake-up call for Maxam to reform its way of doing business. Quote, Maxam's management cannot ignore this important vote for Judge Mikva and Senator Metzenbaum. The board will have to address shareholder concerns ranging from questionable leadership and poor performance to the company's conflict-ridden history. Over the past 3 years, two California-based environmental organizations, the Rose Foundation for Communities and the Environment and As You Sow Foundation, have waged shareholder campaigns resulting in increased support. As You Sow's Conrad McCurran summed up their three-year campaign, quote, we have always maintained that Maxam can be more profitable by saving old-growth redwoods than by cutting them down. The voting results show that a lot of shareholders agree with us. And in Headwaters news, the good news is that Senate Bill 621 passed out of the Appropriations Committee on Monday and will go to the Senate for a vote. Senate Bill 261 by Byron Scher is the bill that would require the Board of Forestry to adopt emergency rules to protect watercourses and coho salmon. It would also impose civil penalties of up to $50,000 per day for violations of the Forest Practices Act. Hearings on the other three bills were postponed until next week after Labor Day. The other Senate bill is scheduled for a vote in the Senate Appropriations Committee, and the Assembly bills will be heard in Assembly. They're being heard this week. I guess this is this alert came out late. So if you haven't done so already, listen to what's going on. I believe these bills did pass the Assembly bill. That's the latest news. The Assembly Committee, that's the latest news that I have. And in animal news, more than 120 whale experts and scientists from 40 member countries, including the United States, the United Kingdom, Australia, Norway, and South Africa, are attending the annual conference of the International Whaling Commission this week, taking place at the conference center at the Grand Beach Resort in St. George's, Grenada. The meeting is also being attended by a wide variety of non-governmental organizations from pro-whaling as well as anti-whaling factions. And Looks like any decision to remove the whaling ban has been put off for another year. On May 19th, a suspicious fire destroyed the van of a political activist, Josh Raisler Khan, who has been receiving harassment and threats for over 2 years. It seems Josh has been targeted because of his environmental activism. He is an organizer of the Allegheny Defense Project, a Clarion, Pennsylvania-based group working to protect the Allegheny National Forest from destructive clear-cutting practices. The fire started at approximately 4 a.m. while the van was parked behind his home in Oberlin, Ohio. The fire is currently under investigation by the local police, the fire department, and the FBI. The fire is being regarded as suspicious because there was what appeared to be the remains of a melted plastic gasoline container directly underneath the steering wheel, and it looks like the origin of the fire. Some evidence has been collected out of the van and is being analyzed, and the van itself is still in Josh's driveway. Josh has been receiving threats since the fall of 1996 when he became active with the Allegheny Defense Project. He has had his car spray-painted, received death threats through email and through the postal service. He's been followed and had his movements documented over a 22-hour period in a threat this April. A wanted-style poster was put up on the Oberlin College campus where Josh is a student, offering a $500 reward for whoever stopped him. He also has had a photo of himself with crosshairs drawn over his head placed in his mailbox. There's a long history of documented violence against environmentalists, including people being run off the road, having their homes burned and their pets killed, being attacked, shot at, and even car bombed. May 24th is the 9-year anniversary of the car bombing in California, which seriously maimed Judy Berry and Daryl Cherney, environmental activists working to protect the redwood forests. In March of this year, an environmental group in New Mexico, Forest Guardians, had a pipe bomb placed in their mailbox, which would have killed anyone within several hundred feet had the fuse not failed. The FBI is investigating this latest incident, but there is a long history of the FBI failing to take threats against activists seriously, failing to investigate the acts of violence, infiltrating and disrupting environmental groups, as well as fabricating evidence against activists. Currently, the FBI is considering Josh a suspect in the arson of his own van, despite the history of threats against him and other environmental activists. And in other news, not so good, the Juvenile Justice Bill, Senate Bill 254, passed the Senate last week with provisions specifically designed to target animal rights and environmental activists by creating a national database of animal rights and environmental activists and their crimes. This would be overseen by the FBI in a manner that is all too reminiscent of COINTELPRO and is downright Orwellian. Number two, it would unfairly target animal rights activists and environmental activists by increasing their sentences for any crimes above and beyond what they would normally face for those convictions. And three, websites and publications that have any information about bomb making. Anyway, it doesn't say what they would do with these websites, but this is being opposed by the ACLU, the Electronic Privacy Information Center, and other free speech advocates who have described as likely to be abused by overzealous prosecutors and law enforcement agencies. If you want further information about this bill, contact on the web www.aclu.org/action/juvenile106.html. Once again, that webpage is aclu.org/action/juvenile106.html. And we'll get to more news in our next broadcast, but that's it for right now. If you want to get news from or announcements from your bioregion on the Earth First Radio show, send us email at cruzeif@cruzeio.com. That's cruzeif@cruzeio.com. Or send your letters to Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's Earth First Radio, P.O. Box 344, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. And be sure to send those announcements at least 3 weeks in advance. If you want more in-depth news and information about the Earth First Movement, subscribe to the Earth First Journal. They're at P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. That's the Earth First Journal, P.O. Box 1415, Eugene, Oregon, 97440. You can hear Earth First Radio live every week on Free Radio Santa Cruz 96.3 FM, Thursdays at 8 p.m., or you can listen to Earth First Radio on your computer on the World Wide Web at radioforall.web.net. That's radioforall.web.net. The 4 is the number 4. You'll need a sound card in your computer, but the software you need is free on your website. Earth First Radio is being rebroadcast on a growing number of free speech and non-commercial radio stations, and we welcome Free Radio Austin to the growing number. Ask your local station to rebroadcast Earth First Radio. Earth First Radio is produced by Earth First Santa Cruz and is affiliated with the Earth First Radio Network. Our theme music was written and performed by Daryl Cherney from the CD Keep It Wild. I'm Uncle Dennis. Thank you for listening, and tune in to the next Earth First Radio show for more no-compromise news, views, poetry, and music. And now we're going to listen to Arizona Power Lines off of Daryl Cherney's cassette, Timber.
Now there's a nuclear demon, a menace to our time, and it travels through the desert on the Arizona power lines. Mark Davis and Mark Baker, Margaret Millett too, they looked up at those towers, oh, they knew what they must do. Oh, ain't it grand, out in the desert with a blowtorch in your hand. Oh, take it slow, it could all come crashing down on you. Watching, so they sent in Michael Tate, a phony Vietnam veteran vowed to guard the fascist state. Well, he won their trust and friendship, to his flaws they all were blind, till those flares lit up the skies above the Arizona power lines. Oh, ain't it grand, out in the desert with a blowtorch in your hand. Was behind the scheme. Well, they jailed a founder of Earth First, but they did not stop the dream. So should you walk at Abbey's desert and see a little flame that shines, don't you say a prayer for the next 2 days.